coming in 1-1, whether we're in this building or not. As Victor said, there'll be some major changes to the leadership, and there'll be some things that we're going to start doing when we get into our permanent building. We are going to start having some leadership classes. We're going to start having some discipleship classes. Come on, somebody. We're going to start teaching you all how to not just go to church, but how to walk in Christ. Come on, somebody. And so those things are going to be important. Well, more than likely, once we get into the building, we will go back to a Wednesday evening service, a Bible study, a midweek service. I don't know if we'll do Wednesday. Maybe we'll do not a traditional service because Wednesday is normally what most churches do. We might do a Thursday evening Bible study. I don't know. We're just praying about it. We'll give it to leadership. But we're going to have a building to where we'll be able to have access to it whenever we want. Come on, somebody. Is that a blessing to the church and growing the church and the area we're going? There's going to be a lot of need. So just continue to pray. It probably will take at least a couple of months to get the building opened and renovated. And so we're not sure where we're going to be, if we'll be here. But as we've said before, if we have to put everything in storage until the building's ready, then we will have virtual church from the house. Amen. But God knows what he's doing. Amen. So it brings me to my text this morning. When it's time to move forward. Someone say, when it's time to move forward. That text is a very interesting text this morning because it really is the heart. You know, I say this every year. We have the shredding service and we do the New Year's Eve service and everybody bring food. And I really prayed about it and we probably could have did it, but I was like, you know what? That's so traditional for us. Y'all shred things, you don't change anyways. Someone say, come on, Pastor. No, seriously, like, whether you shred it or not, it's supposed to represent. But when I say change, meaning it doesn't matter if you shred something, you have to shred your heart. Come on, somebody. You have to want to change in your heart. Come on, somebody. And so I want everyone to understand this, that as we move forward in what God wants to do, we all have to let some stuff go. Someone say, let some stuff go. And so when you move forward, you can't, I say it all the time, what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over again, expect some different results. So in order for us to get a different result, especially where we're going to have to do some stuff different. Amen? We're going to have to change and do some things. So I'm going to go to our first text this morning. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, someone say, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. You see, we all say we're going to change, but do we really change? You know, we talk about what change is, and we talk about what, you know, I'm just going to be very honest with you. I let go of a company on Friday. Gave my notice. I'm now slowly, someone say slowly, getting down to about two companies. And God is my provider. Come on, somebody. And I've decided that I have to take care of myself. Come on, somebody. And so when God said it's time to move in the direction I have for you, there's some things that's tough to give up. Come on, somebody. But you have to give them up. You have dwelt, someone say, you have dwelt long enough in that place. The Bible says the mountain, but he's talking about a place. So God spoke to the people in Horeb, or the children of Israel, and he says, you say you're moving forward and you say you're changing, but something is not clicking with you. Come on, somebody. And so we have to get into a place. Watch this. What the next verse says, turn, someone say turn, and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains, in the lowland, in the south, in the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates. So God is now telling them, you've been comfortable, church, where you're at. Why do we get so comfortable where we're at? Because it's something we are called repetition. Come on, somebody. We get so used to doing the same thing, that when God's about to stir some stuff up, we don't like what he's doing. So now he's telling him to go to the place of the Amorites. Now watch this. See, I've set before you. Someone said, I've set before you. The land. Someone say the land. Not when you get there. What does it say, guys? See, I've set before you, I've set the land what? Does it say I'm working on it? Does it say give me time to do it? No. He said, I've set the land before you. So he's saying, someone say he already has a place prepared for you. And this year, Pastor Mike is going to make sure, watch this, that if I have people in leadership or people in this church that don't want to do it, it's okay. Because let me tell you what the mentality of the sports world. When a quarterback goes down, they say, oh, we can't play no more, can they, Vic? Next man up. Come on, somebody. And people say, oh, that's. No, I'm telling you, it has to be that way in ministry as well. Next man up. And so he said, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Look what he says. I've given it to you, church. Someone say he's given it to you. But you have to possess it. I have given you the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your father. So now he's saying, I've already given it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give to them and their descendants after them. So say, God has already prepared my new dwelling, but I won't find it if I don't move. My God. Let me say it again. I don't know who this is for, but I'm telling you, you are nervous about nothing. Let me say that. Someone say nervous about nothing. You are leaving the familiar to get into something that God has for you. I've set a land before you. Go and possess the land. See, the biggest thing that we struggle in this scripture right here, it's not that God hasn't prepared a place for us. It's the fact, are we going to step out in faith and do what he tells us to do? Because my Bible tells me that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The word diligent means never giving up until you get your breakthrough. Come on, somebody. The word diligent means you will do. And let me tell you something. The enemy always wants to discredit you and discourage you from you possessing the land that God has for you. When we walked into that building, the new building we're about to rent and possess, I'm telling you right now, I looked at it and it's tore up from the floor, but I didn't see what it looks like now. I could see what it's going to look like after we're done. Come on, somebody. We're still waiting to hand back from the landlord to see how much they want to give us for refurbishing it. But once again, if God wants us there, watch this, church. He'll make a way. Come on, somebody. That's why I keep telling you online, keep giving in the church, because guess what? It's going to take money to possess the promised land. Come on, somebody. It is. Money is what we have to have in this world, okay? So if we're going to possess the land, someone say possess the land, we have to be faithful over what God has given us, okay? I gave up one of my companies. About to give up another one tomorrow, and about to give up another one Tuesday. I'm going from 5 to 2. Come on, somebody. 5 companies to 2. I'm going to be very limited at the other companies I'm staying at, but literally just seeing patients will be one major company and one smaller company. And God, and I want you to understand this, I have been on this journey for 2 years with one company, hoping and praying and believing that one day they'll put me full time. Well, guess what? It's finally happened. Let's give God some praise. Amen. I'm going to have health insurance. I'm going to have 401k. I'm going to have dental. I'm going to have vacation time. Come on, somebody. And someone's saying, and thank you, Jesus. I will be making more for one company than I did for all five. Come on, somebody, with less patience. That's how God will do you if you're faithful over him. So he says, I'm giving you the land. Watch as I'm giving you the land, but watch what we miss here. I'm giving you the land. Some say, I'm giving you the land that I swore to those before you. Why do we give up so easily? Because we don't see the manifestation of the promise in its entirety. That's a good word, Vic. We give up easily because we don't see the full manifestation of God in its entirety. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is crazy. Elder Vic didn't know this. But Josh, someone say, but Josh, had an interview on Friday with another DME company. They're prepared to make him an offer tomorrow. Come on, somebody. I don't know how the brother gets jobs. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's an anointing. Because let me quit my job. I'll be out there for a long time without my job. But this brother, like, he don't even try. The jobs just come to him. And it's in Grand Prairie. Come on, somebody. It's like 8 miles from where we're living. Come on, somebody. Back to what he was doing. Come on, some making decent money to where he can get on his own, get his own car, get his own house, and live for Josh. Come on, somebody. But to this day, I don't know how this brother gets jobs. I don't. But God's favor, watch this, God's favor is on him. Now watch this. God already knows what you have need of. Watch this, church, before you ask of it. Watch this. Okay? To give to them, here's what he says. Someone say the descendants and after them. So the first thing I want you to realize is that you have to realize that we may not be so much stuck as stopped. Come on, somebody. Someone say, I'm not stuck. I'm just stopped. Stuck means you can't move forward. Stop means you decide not to do it. Come on, somebody. You're never stuck nowhere unless you decide to be stuck there. You can choose what direction you want to go. You have the choice to either say, I'm going to make it, or I'm just going to stop. And when you stop, there will be no success when you stop. Come on, somebody. Realize that we may not be so much stuck as stop. People, let me tell you something. People choose to do what they want to do, whether you want to believe that or not. We can't force people to be right. Live right, love the Lord. We can't. But what we can do is teach them biblical, practical principles about why you live this way for the Lord. Come on, somebody. Why God blesses those that serve him. Because why? Because sometimes our mind will tell us that we're stuck. We're not really stuck. We decide to stop where we're stuck. Come on, somebody. You can only be as happy as you want to be. Come on, somebody. You don't have to accept what the enemy tells you that he tries to put on you. Okay? Realize that we may not be so much stuck as we decide to what? Stop. The word stop in the dictionary says not to move or to stay put or to make a choice not to do nothing. Someone say not to move, stay put, or make a choice not to do nothing. Have you ever fallen into a slump? Have you ever fell into that I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to get. I'm just done with it. I just feel like I don't want to do it no more. And you just want to lay in bed and cover up the blankets and say, I just want to stay in bed and do nothing. Have you ever? That's called depression. The word depression means to press on or press you down. The word depression actually means to push you down or to press something. So when a person is depressed, they're actually being squeezed. And that is nothing from the Lord. That is from the enemy. Come on, somebody.
Sometimes pressure creates diamonds.
Mm-hmm. But watch this. It depends on what kind of pressure it is. There's good pressure and there's bad pressure. If I need to go out this afternoon, I need to do this. I don't know how much pressure I have in my hose, but I need to clean my patio because during that storm, all those leaves and branches and pine leaves and all that stuff got all over my patio now because it's hot and rain, so all my stuff is stuck to the patio. So I got to have enough pressure to spray that stuff off. Some pressure is good. And then some pressure is bad. But you have to determine what's good and what's bad. Watch this. Realize that we may not be so much stuck, but as we are stopped. The word stopped, I told you what it means. And some of us need to realize this. You will only stop as long as you want to be stopped. Someone says, time to reassess our direction. God is always at work redeeming what we lost if you will quit worrying about what you lost and start looking at what you're about to gain. Let me say it again. God is always at work redeeming what is lost. Instead of you looking at what you lost, you need to look at what you're about to gain. Someone say, what matters is what's ahead and not behind. Jesus spoke these words. He said, follow me. Someone say, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Watch this. Number two, read that, Elder Vic. Recognize our attachment to what's familiar and our resistance to change. Yesterday, I watched high school football all day. I vegged out in front of the TV. Took a break from everybody and vegged out in front of high school football. Was thinking about going to AT&T, but that when I got home from my Christmas party, I was like, man, I don't want to go fight those crowds. I can watch it on TV. Besides, I don't go without Vic. If Vic couldn't go, I'm not going. We could have went. We normally go, don't we, Vic? But it just didn't work out this year. Next year, we'll go. But Duncanville Panthers, four times they have met the same team every year for the state title. And I'd be crazy to tell you if it wasn't heading that way again. It was 21-21 at the half. They would score, Duncanville scored. So it came to the last 3-4 minutes of the game. And what's really crazy is North Shore was about to score. All they needed was a yard to get the first down. So they went for it. They had no choice but to go for it. Fourth and less than a yard, right, Vic? And it was on what, the 10-yard line, about to score. So it would have been 28-28. Here we go. Same story as last year. All of a sudden, the quarterback does a quarterback sneak and gets stopped. If you saw the replay, y'all, it was like this. Am I right, Vic? It was about, what, that much, right? He was short of the first down. And I'm sure Duncanville's coach said, this looks pretty familiar. Because every year, they've either lost by 3 or a final play of the game. 2 years ago, there was a Hail Mary. You remember that, Victor? It was a Hail Mary. And so I'm sure Duncanville's coach is saying, this is familiar to me. Here we go again. But Duncanville decided they needed to resist what they were putting in their mind. No, we're going to win. And they buckled down and they stopped that quarterback just short of the first down, which gave Duncanville the ball. All they had to do was run out the clock and win that championship. But see, a lot of us, we don't resist the familiar because we like the familiar. We don't have enough faith to know that we can change in Christ and we can do some things different if we break away. Someone say, break away from the familiar. People ask me, why is it such a big deal to move the church when we're doing some other things? It'll be announced on the first. It's because it's not that I'm trying to say goodbye. I am grateful. Let me explain this to you. I am grateful for my past, what God has done. Let's not get it twisted. Listen to me. You cannot think that your past was your past and it's of the end. No, some things you have to remind yourself of the past, just what God brought you. You wouldn't be here without a past. But just because we're changing things and we're changing the building thing doesn't mean we're not grateful for our past. It simply means that God is doing something new. Come on, church. And if we get away from the familiar and we resist change, God will never allow you to get what he has for you in the future if you don't embrace what he's trying to do. Watch this, church. Someone say, recognize our attachment to what's familiar and our resistance to change. Listen to me. You can't get mad at something you're staying in. Yeah, familiar spirit. You can't get mad because you say, this will never change. You're right, because you're in it. Come on, somebody. Someone say familiar spirits. That's what she's talking about. Okay? That's what she's talking about, a familiar spirit. You keep doing the same thing over. But the children of Israel had decided, they said, we've been in this place a long time, but now God's trying to do something good for us. What are we going to do? And they have to decide to move on. Watch this. Read that, Benita. Disillusionment. Confront any unresolved disillusionments and the potential misguided expectations involved. In other words, you cannot move forward in your life until you let some stuff go. I do not hate no one. Hate is not from the Lord, y'all. Okay? We are not, as believers, supposed to hate anybody. The Bible says pray for those who persecute you. Love those who despitefully use you. But you don't know what they did for me. No, I don't know. But guess what? God does not tell us to return evil for evil. Yeah. God doesn't tell us to do that. But sometimes we have unresolved disillusionment because guess what? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what the world teaches us. Come on, somebody. Watch this, guys. Someone say hurt people. Hurt people. I'm going to say it again. Hurt people. Hurt people. I don't think they got it. Let me say it again. Hurt people hurt people. So if you're hurt and you're mad, angry, and upset and want to get even, you're going to take that same anger and misguided expectations on somebody else. In other words, you want to change in something new, but you're still holding on to the past. Come on, somebody. Confront any unresolved disillusionment and the potential misguided expectations involved. Amen? You have to learn to let that stuff go. Someone say, we're moving on. We're not living in anxiety hill no more. We're not living in broke down past. We're not living in that city of I want revenge. There's a lot of places we live. Get even way. They want a piece of my mind trail. We live in all those places. Well, Pastor, I'll feel better if I get what I want. For a moment, God says you got to confront all that. See, some of us don't realize we have unresolved disillusionment and we have misguided expectations. What is a misguided expectation? Expecting something that God does not have for you. And getting jealous because someone else got it. Come on, somebody. You ain't got no problems. This woman of Don, next door to Don, she's lost her pet. I would lose my mind if I lost one of my babies like that. Then she's lost her husband a couple months ago. Now her house got burned up. 2 weeks before Christmas. Y'all? Well, the church said, oh, let me pray for them. She needs more than prayers. She needs you to feel what she's going through. She don't even have a place to live. By the grace of God, a bigger church, a Baptist church here in Grand Prairie, First Baptist Church, they put her in an apartment. Come on, somebody. And we have all these misguided expectations that, oh, you know, as long as I'll pray for them, but as long as I'm okay. No, change that mindset. Look at this. Someone say these things. I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Someone say, I have overcome the world. Okay? These things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen to me. You have to understand that God has got to be your peace in all situations. He gives us the peace. Someone say he gives us the peace that passes all understanding. I could not have made it this last 2 years in my life without God. I'm going to say that right now. I could not have survived a heart attack without God. Let me explain this to you. It could have been a widowmaker that took me out. Anybody know what a widowmaker is? A widowmaker is this. I had a heart attack on the small portion of my heart. A widowmaker, you have a heart attack on the big portion of our. You don't have time to go to the hospital. You automatically just drop dead. It's actually called a massive heart attack. Which means you don't have time to make it to the hospital. Me, because I don't listen, because I'm hard-headed. Nothing from the peanut gallery. The peanut gallery, that's y'all. Comments. I get that from the Muppets. You remember the Muppets? Those two old men that were in the gallery, and they were always throwing oranges. You ever remember the Muppets? And those two old men, you remember those two old men, Victor and the Muppets? They used to throw eggs, or they used to throw all that stuff. In their comments, it's called the peanut gallery. Oh, y'all, yeah. Okay? So when I say that, I'm talking, that's from the Muppets, the peanut gallery is what I'm saying. Anyways, so when I had my heart attack, well, technically, it was a heart event, but it was really a heart attack. But they called I actually had my first heart attack on Wednesday and worked all week. Thought it was indigestion. Took some aspirin, worked. I actually went and got a haircut, and I was having a heart attack. I was sitting in a chair. And he was cutting my hair, and I was having chest palpitations. I wasn't feeling good. All day, all night. Finally, that Sunday morning, I woke up and I was like, "This ain't right. Something's wrong." And I kept I felt my chest pounding. And I woke up and I was like, I felt like I was here, but I wasn't here. It was almost like a movie, slow motion. I can hear Josh talking, but it was like, "Hey, yeah, 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 yeah." Like a daze, because I wasn't getting no oxygen to my brain. Because my heart was shutting down. Yeah. And I'm walking around and acting. I'm getting no oxygen to my brain because my heart is shutting down. And I didn't take the warning. Watch this. But it was God. Someone say it was God. Who walks around for a week with a heart attack? Like, seriously. Right? Yeah. In the world, you'll have peace, but be of good cheer. Someone say, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Our peace has to come from God. Watch this, church. You will not find peace in your mate. They'll give you comfort and peace, but they're not your peace. Come on. You will not find peace in your job. I don't care how much money you make. I've been there, done that. Money will not buy you happiness. It'll buy you some joy. Amen. When I was looking at my finances, I was like, I only got to make this much, but why am I killing myself? So I'm going to cut back to pay my bills and go on vacations and do some other stuff, but I'm not going to kill myself for a company that if I died, they'll have someone in 2 weeks. Because guess what? They still have to run their business. Okay? Watch this. Romans 8:26, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the Message Bible, the moment we get tired in the waiting, watch this, church, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along if we don't know how or what to pray. People call me, Pastor Mike, can you pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray for you, but what do you need prayer for? Well, I just find it. You don't have to ask me to pray for you all the time. Bible says pray for yourself because he'll help you. Guess what? He will know, he'll teach you how to pray or what to pray. That's discernment. That's it. It doesn't matter. Someone said it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you pray. You think when I go to bed at night, Father God of heavens and riches, this is your humble servant, Pastor Michael Allen Morris of the Life Worship Center. I reside at da-da-da, and I need you to hear me right now, oh God. Man, if I did that, God would be like, brother, who are you and where are you at? I talk to God just like he's my father. Father, I need something right now. What you going through, son? Man, I talked to God a whole lot in that hospital bed. You ever have an eye-opening experience? After Benita left and everybody left and I was all alone and Josh left, I was sitting in that hospital and I was laying on my back looking up at the ceiling and I said, this is what my life has become. And I heard him in a still small voice, keep eating them peanut butter cups. Keep eating those snack cakes at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, I used to literally kill a thing of Oreos in like 2.5 days. Because every night it was Oreos and milk. Come on, tell on yourself. Come on. What's your vice? Huh? Snacks? What is it? And my biggest thing is I would go all day without eating because I was busy. Go home, play with the dogs, get the dogs settled, sit in my recliner, and eat like 7, 8 o'clock at night. Then I'd have to have my dessert, so 9, 10 o'clock at night, you know, Oreos and milk. And I was laying in bed. Huh? It wasn't secret. I did it. Amen? No. Josh, give me a glass of milk. Give me half the row, Josh. My reward. And I would tell myself, I deserve this because I work hard. You know how the enemy talks to y'all? He will make you think something's okay because you justify what you do by your actions. He'll take you out with pleasures. My God. Y'all better get that. Someone say he'll take you out with pleasures. My pleasures ain't women. My pleasure was food. Okay? Y'all, I had this jar. Benita saw the jar when she helped me move. This jar's about this full. If it was running low, guess what? I had to get 4 or 5 things of snack cakes. Don't let me run out of snack cakes. And milk, oh my God. How many milk we go through, Josh? Not now though, right? Not now. Yeah. 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 But I tell you what. Bread, man, pasta. Man, I haven't eaten any of that since my heart attack, y'all. Come on. Yeah. I've lost 21 pounds since my heart attack. Come on, somebody. Give God praise for that. Amen? 21 pounds, yeah. And the thing about it is that here's what he says. And if we don't know what to pray, or I had to ask God, I'm not strong enough to eat healthy. I'm not. I talk to myself, I don't like vegetables. That's the truth. But there's other things you can do. Taking vitamins now. Come on, somebody. I'm not eating breads. I'm not eating a whole lot. I don't drink no soda. I never was a soda drinker, but my kryptonite was Arnold Palmer. I thought it was healthy, half sweet tea, half lemonade. But when I started looking at the can, Mountain Dews too. Yeah, so now it's just water. I drink a lot of water, Powerade Zero. And when I feel like having a soda, I've got hooked on to 7-Up Zero everything.
Pastor,
yes.
What?
Really? Send that to me. I might try that. Yeah. So watch this. Last part of the scripture. He does our praying in and for us, making us pray out of our worldly sighs, our aching groans. Look at this. He knows us far better. Someone say he knows us. Far better than we know ourselves. knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. In other words, he knows our weaknesses. Watch this, church. He knows our weaknesses and he knows what we struggle with. Come on, somebody. Okay? And keeps us present. Someone say, keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail, someone say, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. So every detail of our life, even though you don't see it now, it's going to work for our good. Let me say it again. It's going to work for our good. Okay? Someone say it's going to work for our good. We don't see it yet, but we have to let go of our past, work for our future, and trust God in the process. Someone say, trust God in the process. Pastor Mike, how do we have the money to move to another building? We don't. But by faith, we will. Let me say it again. Someone say, we don't. But by faith, we will. When the time comes for us to possess that building, we'll find out first week of January what it's going to cost. I'm going to believe God that he's going to bring the resources and the finances to possess that building. Well, that's not being, I don't care what it is. It's a leap of faith. All I know is God said to get out of here. And that's what I'm doing. I'm obeying him. Come on, watch this. God knew that what he was doing from the very beginning, he decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him. And along the same lines as the life of his son, the son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original intended shape of our lives there in him. See, you don't understand. You don't understand what that's saying. What that's saying is, even before we get to our promise, he knows what was going to happen before we get there. It's a surprise to us, but it's not to him. Come on, somebody. Here's what he says. I love this verse. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling them by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, glorious, completing what he had begun. Someone say, it won't end until God says it will end. Someone say, completing what he has begun. Number four. Read that for me. Whoever wants to jump in. Count the cost of the changes. Someone say, count the cost of the changes you need to make. I know in 6 months or so, I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to move back to Grand Prairie. 6 months or some change. I'm preparing now with my extra money I'm making to put into an account. So when I need a down payment, amen, Glow? I'll have my down payment. Okay? So I'm cutting back on stuff that I don't need. Okay? There's a difference between stuff you don't need and stuff you just want. But I told someone this before, my friend. I told other people this too. You still deserve to spoil yourself every now and then. If I work, come on. I had an argument with somebody one day. I would not pay $126 for cable. That's you. I got to watch sports. I got to watch ESPN. I got to watch. Everybody has their own desires, right? Yeah. Mine's is sports. If I want to pay $136 something and some change in Spectrum. But I'm not going to be at my house. Even Ashley told me the other day, she goes, Dad, you know, you could save a lot of money just do streaming. I said, I can't stream football. She goes, no, but I just do everything on Roku, and I do everything on Netflix and Amazon and all that. She goes, I don't have a cable bill, Dad. That's why. I said, well, that's on you, but guess what? I want to watch live sports. I want to watch the upcoming championship playoff game with TCU. You can't stream that. That's live TV. Come on. Okay, I'm going to take a poll. So I'm going to say survey says. Glow, you do your hairs. You get your hair done. You get your nails done. Bonita, you get your nails done. Okay, how much it cost?
Oh, really? You can put me on the spot?
Yeah. Okay. Dawn? Like she actually did it or she paid for it? But do you ever get your nails done?
Yeah.
What about you? Yeah. Who cuts your hair? Who cuts your hair? Yeah. So those are all what? What about you? You ain't got no hair, so we ain't got to worry about that. But I know that because every time I call the brother, I'm gonna call you back, Pastor. I'm online, playing Madden or whatever. Yeah, okay. Those are luxuries. And you're entitled to those luxuries. Okay? It's okay to embellish yourself. What I'm talking about is overdoing it. Come on, somebody. Count the cost. I'm going to say count the cost of the changes you need to make. You can't say I'm hungry and didn't buy no food. But then I see that you went out and bought a new video game. Pastor Mike, can you borrow me like $50? I ain't got no food, but what are you doing? I'm playing my new video game. When'd you get it? Oh, I bought that last week. Someone say, count the cost of the changes you need to make. Okay? We all have costs that we have to deal with, somebody, right? Everything costs, but here it is. Here's what's the most important thing I want to get to. Watch this. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, though he cannot be my disciple. In other words, how can you say you love somebody, but yet you don't even... That's what he says. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone understand what that means? Read it. What does it mean, Vic? Mm-hmm. And also these should never come before your God. You can't love your mother, your father, your wife and your children, your brothers and sisters more than you love your God. God has to come first in your life. And if you cannot put God first in your life, then your priorities are not in line with the word. Victor said this. I didn't say it. Victor said him and Glow was getting a divorce from their past. Come on, somebody. They got reunited in Christ. He's going to serve God. And she's going to serve right alongside with him, not in front of him, not behind him. Come on, somebody. The man is the head of the church or head of that household, just like Christ is the head of the church. But it doesn't mean that you need to be dogmatic. No, I'm the man. You can't be the man unless you're spiritual. I would never tell a woman of God to follow an ungodly man. Come on, somebody. Someone say that's out of order. But you're supposed to be the men, watch this church teaching moment, men are supposed to be the spiritual leader of their household. Why is that so true? Because guess what? Women did not come first. Let's go back to the garden. God created Adam first. Men have fallen away from their God-given roles. Oh, the wife goes to church for me and she prays for me. That's wrong, brother. You're supposed to be the head of your house. You're supposed to, just like you lead them to the mall, you better lead them to the church. Come on, somebody. I love it when I watch on Facebook some of our church members, oh, wonderful date night. Make it a date Sunday. Go to church. Having another great date night with my partner. Guess what? You should bring her to church. Have a date going to church. Come on, somebody. But we haven't messed up, because when we leave our past, when we want a new future, but we want God to do some stuff. But here's what he says. If you cannot do these, you cannot be my disciple. God don't want all your time. He just wants some of your time. Come on, somebody. He wants you to carve out a little bit of time in the week to pray and to read. Y'all got it easy. I send out a devotional. Just read that and you took care of God for the day. How many of y'all get the devotional? Just read that. I'm doing it for you. And don't look at it and say, oh, Pastor Mike again. Delete, delete, delete. I'm trying to bless you. I have to wake up in the morning and read it myself and send it out. And, you know, but it's all about priorities. And whoever does not bear his cross, here it is, I'm getting to the end of this thing, bear his cross, bear his cross. Someone say, bear his cross. We all have a cross to bear. My cross might be harder than yours. My cross might be easier than yours. But we all have a personal cross that we have. Let me tell you something. If you don't get over yourself, you won't get over anything. You bear what the cross that God has put on you. You bear your struggles every day. But he doesn't tell you. Here's what he says. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me. See, we bear the cross, but we don't follow him. God never told you to take it by yourself. He told you to take up your cross and do what? Follow him. Bear your cross. Look what it says, Anna. Someone say, bear his cross and come after me. God never told you to bear the cross by yourself, but he wants you to know that if you will give it to him, in him, someone say, in him, the burden is light. Here it is. Watch this. For which of you intended to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Come on, somebody. Look at this last word. Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Come on, somebody. I saw a billboard the other day when I was heading to North Fort Worth. They hadn't finished the billboard. And it said, want to learn more, but they didn't have the website. I guess they were working on it. And I thought to myself, want to learn more about what? Someone said it's incomplete. What good is it to ask God for something when you don't finish and tell him what you need? Come on, somebody. Yeah, you got to be specific. God said, and comes to my final point, watch this. Someone say, embrace the opportunity to rely on a fresh on God. Something new. His mercy is new every day, church. Every day. His mercies are good and new every day. I'm excited about where God is putting us because there's new fish to be caught. Y'all ain't saying nothing. God is so good, he put us by a blood donation center. Someone donating their blood saved my life. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't saying that. Y'all missed the opportunity to give him a praise right now. A blood donor saved my life. Well, that's a t-shirt. Write that down, V. A blood donor saved my life. Boy, that's a good t-shirt for the new church, huh? A blood donor saved my life. And we put our shirt on. Ooh, write that down, somebody. Write it down, Benita. Hurry. A blood donor saved my life. Have it on the back. And our logo on the front. Ooh, that's good, Vic. A blood donor saved my life. Ooh, Jesus. And where we're going, I'm going to call you up on a Saturday when we get the church up and running. Hey, I need to come up. We're not going to say, oh, we'll schedule it. The old Life Worship Center, we'll schedule it. And, oh, okay, nobody else. Okay, well, no more cancellations in this church. We say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. We're going to make that sacrifice. to make this church grow. Come on, somebody. People say, oh, you can't grow the church. No, it's not we can't grow the church. Or do we want to grow the church? There's every opportunity to minister to people, especially where we're going. Folks are going to go in that place every day. We're going to get bags with apples and oranges and some cheese or whatever. We're just going to have a little sack, and on the outside of the sack, we're going to attach our card to it. Actually, we're going to print out stickers, and stickers are going to be on the bag with our information on it. And we're going to evangelize. Come on, somebody. We're going to get back to outreaching, and we're going to do some stuff. So embrace the opportunity to rely afresh on God. And there's no reason why we can't grow that church if we don't put our mind to it. Watch this. Watch this. Somebody say there is a difference between wanting it, needing it, and relying on it. Wanting on it is a desire. Needing it is believing it. Relying is telling God what you need. We can't say we want something and stop praying for it, then when it doesn't happen, say it wasn't God's will. It was always God's will. He wants to see how faithful you are until you receive what you have prayed for. Our problem is not, will God do it? Our problem is, can we still believe until he does? As we join together today on the last service, watch this, of the year for this church. Read into the lines right there. For this church. We can look back, Elder Vic, 11 months and all the plans, all the dreams, and I can tell you, we have not accomplished one thing that we set out to do this year. That's the truth. We should be embarrassed. I myself have conviction. Oh, but no, let's quit making excuses. We have to turn away from what hasn't worked and turn to what's working. And I would expect you on 1-1-2023, go to your neighbor and bring them to church. Go down the street. If you're at a stoplight, hey, get some cards. I'll get some cards. And every time you're away from this ministry, you need to have a business card. I'm going to get some postcards. We need to leave them in our car. And when you're out there, you need to give some information about the church. Because you never know. You never know when someone lost their house to a fire and a month ago, lost their husband. So someone say, my faith. I'm going to tell you what my faith says. My faith says we have to embrace the opportunity to rely afresh on God. So with that, Benita, get up. Get that bucket back there. Stand right here. We are not a wealthy church. We have to come up with over $5,000 in the next couple of months. That's a lot for a small church, is it not? We got to have first and last month's rent. We got to have money for remodel. We got to have money to move. But I was on my way to church this morning, and the Holy Spirit said, you need to take an offering for that lady. So I'm going to obey God. I'm going to give the first donation. No. If you want to put something for this lady that lost everything, no matter what it is, we're not a big church. We're not a major ministry. We have our own things we're going through right now. Go ahead, Vic. What you've done to the least of these. Don didn't ask me to do this. I can think how many times we took up offerings for Don and other people in this church who was in need of, and the Lord told me, he says, think about where she is. This right here, this is just a love offering. And if she never comes to our church, it's okay. But are we going to be the hands and the arms of faith? And if you want to give online, if you're watching online, or if you want to give online, you go to the square in the back. I want you to put, what's the name? The last name. Cash. Put L Cash. If you give something online, those watching online, go to our TLWC website, TLWClife.org, and you can give online. But if you put L Cash, and it's going to say, what's it for? Put L Cash. It'll get to the church account, and I'll turn around and give it to Don so they can have it. But if you want to do a square today, L Cash goes directly to her. God put that on my heart. Don didn't ask me to do this, and he did. I saw the pictures, and I thought to myself, what would I feel like today if one of my babies were gone and I don't even have a place to live? You see, we get so caught up in it, Christmas, and man, what are you doing? We got to do Christmas. Let me tell you something. There's people out there that are hurting. And one thing this church is going to do, I don't care if I have to put the money out myself, we're going to do some stuff to reach this community. And we're going to give this love offering to this. We don't expect her to come to church. She wouldn't have to come to our church. We're just going to let her know that God loves her. And God's here for her. She lost one of her fur babies. She lost her husband a month and a half ago. Now she's lost everything she's owned. And if God leads you to do something more, get with Dawn. With a baby. If you have some clothes at the house, how old's the baby? 9 months old. If you have some 9 months baby clothes or something online, leave us an email. Go to TLWC@yahoo.com. If you want to give some baby clothes, if you want to email us, we'll make sure Dawn gets it. If you feel led to do something this morning, go through our website, contact us through our website, and God will bless those hands that you do. But I just felt led to do that. And one of the things we have to do, thank you, Benita, you can go. One of the things, we don't have to bless it because it's already blessed. One of the things we have to do this year, and that goes directly to Dawn. Dawn, send her our love and tell her this is from your church. Listen to me, y'all. We are not a big church. Look, there's only like 10 people here. We ain't got millions of people giving online. But but I can tell you what we do. We're led by the Holy Ghost, and we help when we can help. And that's what I did. I said, the Lord told me this morning, he said, you can't ask for nothing if you don't put your hand to the plow, Pastor Mike. So I made a point at stopping. What's really crazy, someone said what's really crazy, is I got here, and Benita had just exactly what I took out of my account, so we matched it. I didn't talk to her anything. She didn't know I was going to ask her. She goes, well, this is what I got, Pastor. I said, it's funny, because that's exactly what I got out. Someone say, one mind, one spirit, one accord. We're going to end this year not doing for us. We're going to end this year by giving to somebody else. How many of y'all, that's a good thing? Come on, somebody. We've given to the Center of Hope when we didn't have it. Come on. Y'all should get proud of your church. Come on, somebody. A small church that can still do something, that's a reason to praise him. We should have been out of here a long time ago. But God. And I feel so great about the new location. Man, I can't wait to preach in that new church. Y'all got to buy me a new pulpit. Get some money together. We're not taking that pulpit. We're taking it, but I'm telling you, I found the pulpit. It'll be your practice. But the pulpit I want, Vic, I'm going to send it to you, okay? And you pray for it, okay? It's an acrylic pulpit and can have a custom logo on it. Someone say, how much is it? $556. Can God do that? I want a new pulpit in the new building. I don't want to use this. Come on, somebody. It's going to have our logo on it. Come on, somebody. Oh, there you go, talking about money. Y'all can get mad if you want. God is a provider. Come on, somebody. We got to change that mindset. Come on. You have not, because you ask not. But you ask amiss. I'm starting to call some stuff out. I want the house. I want the car. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. God is good. It is God's desire for his people to be blessed. Come on, somebody. 2023 is going to be the year of increase for this church. I'm not going to reveal what I have to reveal till 1-1. You better come on 1-1. Because the Holy Ghost is about to show up in this place. The Holy Ghost. Someone say the Holy Ghost. It will be the first Sunday I've preached in I don't know how many years. I will be preaching on the first Sunday because God gave me the vision of the church for the year. If you've ever been to the Center of Hope, it's going to be a Center of Hope preaching atmosphere that first Sunday. But just for the sake of the text, say this with me. Say, I'm leaving my past and I'm moving forward to my future. Let us stand this morning. Father, we pray for Sister Leanne this morning. God, how devastating that must be to just lose her husband a couple of months ago and to lose one of her fur babies, her precious, precious fur baby, to that fire. Lost everything that she owns 2 weeks before Christmas. Sometimes, God, we take things for granted. Sometimes we think it won't happen to us, but it can. Sometimes we think that we got it all together, but we really don't. Sometimes if we'll step into someone else's world and see how they're hurting, and see how they're struggling, and see how they need help, I pray that you'll give us the compassion and the heart of God and the care to feel for somebody else. Father, I pray that this blessing, whatever it is, will go to help her. God, she can never replace what she's lost. But maybe, just maybe, a little compassion will show her that God loves her. For those online today, I pray that if you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with not fitting in, if you're struggling this year not getting the Christmas that you want because of finances, let me remind you that it's not about gifts. It's not about the latest shoes or the latest game or the latest video system. It's about that God gave you breath this morning. If you woke up with a roof over your head, you're blessed. If you woke up with food in your refrigerator, you're blessed. If you woke up with a bed to sleep in and a blanket to cover you, you're blessed. God, help us in 2023 to focus on things that are important, things that are of value. As we say goodbye to 2022, this church, God, we thank you for everything you've done. We're not saying goodbye. We're saying see you later. We're grateful for the many, many, many blessings you bestowed upon us. We thank you for all the times you have moved in our services. We thank you for the ups and the downs, and we even thank you for those moments that we didn't know how we're going to make it. But God, you have showed up every single time, and you will continue to show up when we're without. We are standing in faith, believing by God. That's our new phrase. Say, standing in faith, believing by God. This, the final service of 2022. We pray for blessings over those that are celebrating Christmas with their families next year or next week. We embrace the new year. But most importantly, God, we say we are grateful and we're thankful for what you have done. And we're reminded because of who you are, and because of what you have done, we will never be without your grace and your mercy and your love. We will be so careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. It is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who came in the form of a baby, but left as the Savior of the world. We thank you and we praise you In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. And give him some kind of praise this morning. Give him some kind of praise this morning. Elder Vicky, if you want to close us out this morning, I'm going to wait for you to come up here. Hallelujah.